Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4, for those that are helping, that helped in the back, and for the young people. We've been going through the book of 1 Peter here for a little while on Wednesday night, and it will take us through most this summer. And so there are a couple passages that we have skipped over, and we plan on getting back to those before the end. But also here in 1 Peter chapter number 4, we're going to talk tonight about who are you going to please? Who are you going to please? Some really great verses here in 1 Peter chapter number 4. We're going to look at specifically verses 3 through 6, but we'll do a little reminder about what we talked about last week, a couple weeks ago now, I guess, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. So 1 Peter chapter number 4, it says, verse number 1, for as much. Now, for as much to what? Well, you go back to the things that we learned earlier and talked about how in verse number, chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then you go down to verse number 1, I think there's the correlation there. For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. And it talked about us having the same mind as Christ has. I mean, it is amazing that we can have the same thoughts and we can have the same actions that Jesus Christ had because His Spirit lives within us. And so many times I think we are concerned and we're worried that we don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us and He will lead us and direct us as we give Him free reign in our life. It says, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And what we talked about was the will of God a few weeks ago. We talked about how God has a will for every person. Every person that's here, young and old, doesn't matter how old you are, God has a will for you. There is something that He wants you to do. If you study the will of God out inside the Word of God, He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to read His Word. He wants us to memorize His Word. He wants us to pray. He wants us to be thankful. There's a lot of things that is inside the will of God. But the will of God can be missed also. If you see what it says in verse number 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So I'm thinking here when I read passages of Scripture, you can miss out on the will of God for your life. And I used the illustration a couple weeks ago that I think I know some people, I even know some young people who I think God had called them to a certain purpose, a certain plan, and that at a young age they wanted to do something for the Lord, and no longer are they even in church. And you know what? They're missing the will of God for their lives. And here in verses 3 through 6, we get to the point that it just comes down to this, who are we going to serve? You know, either we're going to please God or we're going to please man. You can't do both. You can't please God and man at the same time. You're not going to please the world and please God at the same time. If you are pleasing man, then you won't be pleasing God. And Jesus taught us this. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He was just being honest. He said, look, you know what? The world's going to hate you. The world system's going to hate you. Don't be surprised by this. He says, you know, if it hated me, it's going to hate you also. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't know why you're saying that the world hates you. Well, the world system, the world's philosophies, they're not very accepting when it comes to the truths of Scripture. And you see that as it gets farther and darker in America, you're going to see that those that stand on the Bible and stand on the Word of God, unless there's a great revival, we're going to become more and more hated. It's amazing what some people are trying to force into this country and force into this world. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, look, don't be surprised. And this is the idea of verses 3 through 6, is the idea of just simply put, who are we going to please with our lives? If we're going to live to please ourselves or to please man or the will of the flesh, you know what? We're going to do that. But if we're going to choose to live for the will of God, it's two completely distinct different things. And if we choose to live for the will of God, the people over there will not understand it. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible tells us that. they think it's weird. They think it's odd. They can't understand why we can't just do the same things that they do, because all they know is to please themselves or to please this world and to please their flesh. They have no idea or understanding what it means to want to please God. And so there is a difference here. Let's look what it says in verses 3 through 6 here. He says, For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now here's the thought. In times past, it sufficed us. What does that mean? It satisfied us. It made us complete. It made us complete to do the will of the Gentiles, to do the will of the unsaved, to do the things of the flesh. These things are the things that used to satisfy us. This is what made us happy. And this is the way some people are living their lives. Those who are unsaved and those who are acting like they're unsaved are being happy and satisfied, just doing their own thing and doing the will of the flesh and doing what makes them satisfied in their life. It continue on, and it's not a very pretty list. It says, for when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Verse number 4, I've always liked this verse, and I hopefully tonight we can get the whole idea of the cross. It's very simple, but it's something that many Christians just do not understand. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now, so often we live to try to fit in with this world and to fit in with people who are unsaved and trying to get people to accept us. But you know what? They think it's strange. They think it's strange that we're not willing to run to the same riots, that we're not willing to do the same excess, that we're not willing to look at things the exact same way. And sometimes I have people come up to me and say, hey, pastor, some people think what you teach is just off the wall, ridiculous. And I know that. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that they're going to think it's strange. They're going to think it's weird that we don't go along with society and what relative truth is, and what they think about homosexuality being okay, and what they think about abortion is okay, and what they think about all types of ungodly entertainment is okay. And then they're going to think it's strange that we don't agree with them. And that's just something we had to understand, and we had to get to the point. We're not trying to fit in over here because we're interested in pleasing this one, which is God. And you keep on going, and what it says in verse number 5, it says, Who should give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? And I like the verse because it reminds us that everyone's going to give an account to God. And I think it's referring specifically here to those who think it's strange. You know, to those that are living for themselves. Now, will everyone give an account? Yes. Those who are saved and unsaved will both give an account. It's a different type of account. It's a different type of judgment. You look at verse number 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Tonight, I'd like to think about this for just a few minutes. And it's a simple message, but it's so life-changing. The question is, who we're going to please? Are we going to live to please these people over here, or are we going to live to please God? You can't have both. Now, you say, pastor, you mean if I lived for God and I did everything I could, mean you would not be happy and pleased with it? Of course I'd be pleased with it. We're talking about those who are walking after their own lusts. We're talking about those who are not seeking the will of God. There is a small minority of people that are seeking the will of God. And of course, you're going to please some that are trying to please God also. I think God wants us all to have a little bit of righteous stubbornness, to be honest with you. I think believers need to develop some type of grit and determination when it comes to certain things. You know, I think about Saul of Tarsus. When the Saul of Tarsus was saved on the road to Damascus, I don't think he had changed much of his personality. He went from doing wickedness, but he went to doing righteousness. But he had the same zeal, he had the same personality, the same constitution. Paul was a little hard-headed. He was not going to give in whatever thing he was pursuing after. He knew what God had called him to do, and no amount of suffering or hardship could keep him from fulfilling God's will in his life. And the truth is, I think we have too many fickle Christians, too many people that want to please these people over here that they'll forget all about the will of God in their lives. So there's three things tonight. First of all, there will be those who will live according to the flesh. there will be those who live according to the flesh. And that's what it says in verse number 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought, which means to fulfill, to work the will of the Gentiles. And then you have some words here. It says, when we walk in lasciviousness. Now this word lasciviousness is speaking of a indecency, a wanton behavior. It's a complete lack of restraint. In the book of Second Peter, he actually describes a filthy lifestyle, the people of Sodom, with this word. And the dominating idea behind this word is a shameless conduct. The emphasis is on sensuality. The word refers to behavior that shocks public decency. It's amazing. That describes us today, doesn't it? In the day and world that we live in, it's like somebody's just trying to shock you with what they put out there. And it's amazing. And there's a movie out there called Time Changer where the guy did some time travel and he went up and he left 100 years earlier or however many years, and he went to the day and time that they lived in. This was a few years ago. And in that movie, and I think it's a good movie. I think it's a good movie for you guys to watch. He saw all the different things and he was amazed. It was one of the scenes. He runs out of the movie theater that his Christian group had invited him to go to, and that I think they used God's name in vain. He runs out to the movies and says, stop the movie, stop the movie. And they're looking at him like he's crazy. And he says, they use God's name in vain. And you know what? To people today, that's not a big deal at all. They could care less. And it's shocking the way that the world is. Could you imagine somebody from the coming back 40 or 50 years and seeing what the world's like today, and seeing men married to men, women married to women, people not sure if they are a man or a woman. I mean, just shocking things. And this is the lasciviousness. And where does it come from? It comes from living according to the will of the Gentile, living according to the will of our law. You keep on going. Next word, lust. It denotes a strong desire of any kind, not just sexual desires. It talks about you can have a lust of money, lust of things. Peter's speaking of this here. He talks about the excess of wine. This is talking about drunkenness and debauchery. The next one, talking about revelings, is talking about, you know, people who were carousing. You see the word banqueting. It's the idea of a drinking type bout, abominable idolatries. These are unlawful idolatries. It's something that is vile. And the pagans that lived back in that day and time were so wicked. They had a secular government that did not forbid their worshiping of false gods. And Peter is writing this. And who is he writing this to? Once again, this is this early church. These early Christians. And he's writing to them and they are facing persecution. These are people who are laying down their lives and fighting the battle for Christ. They're dying just because they believe in God, because they will not run with them. They're losing their lives. And you know what? Peter's telling them, look, there was a time when you used to live that way too. That's the way you used to live. Things have changed now. Second thing, and I guess a couple other things here. We must be careful who we associate with. We must be careful who we associate with. The Bible is saying here, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, and all those other things. I don't know about you, but I have friends and family that I used to live a different life than I live today. And I grew up in an independent Baptist church. I grew up in a church similar to ours. Ours was a little bit bigger, had a few more people, but you know, we had similar standards. We didn't have maybe as high standards in certain areas, but we had certain things. But I didn't live for God like I should. And when God got a hold of my heart, when I was probably about 25 years old, things started happening and changing my life. There are certain things that I used to do. There are certain music that I used to do that I didn't listen to anymore. There are certain movies that I used to watch that I didn't watch anymore. There are certain friends that we used to talk about things that I don't talk about anymore. Now, I want you to think I was living some wicked life. It was against God. It was sinful. It was wrong. And when I got things right, I had to leave those things behind to go to live for God. And in this story here, there were people that I used to listen to that music with, and there's people who I used to watch that movies with, and there were people that I used to talk about those things with that I didn't want to do that anymore. I have to be careful who I'm spending time with, because you know what the Bible talks about is one of the things is not what changes you, but who changes you. It's not about always what is changing you, but who changes you. The Bible says in Galatians 5:7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You did run well. He's talking to the church of Galatia, but there was someone that came in and that hindered them from obeying the truth. And you know what that is? We remember what it was like to please ourselves and these people over here. We got to be careful who we are associating with. We got to be careful who we're spending time with. Now you say, Pastor, how are we going to ever witness to those people if we don't want to spend time with them? There's two completely different things there. If we're going to be in ministry mode, trying to witness to a loss and trying to win their friendship by showing them the love of Christ and showing them a different way, it's completely different than trying to make them feel accepted with their sin. See, if we're living for God, they're going to think it's strange that we're not running with them, is what it says, that you run not with them. The Bible also says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. The Bible says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. You know, the Bible's clear here. If there's people who want to live for themselves and living for the will of the flesh and will, you know what? Those are people we're supposed to avoid, try to get away from. Yes, are we supposed to reach them? Yes, we're supposed to try to win them to Christ. We're supposed to bring them back to God. But we're not going to let them influence us in our the way we're thinking and the things that we do. We're not going to let them change what the Bible's telling us is truth. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? It's important to get this. Science even tells us that. I know some people will say, well, I can influence the good. And yes, you can spend some time in influencing them with the good, but there's a difference here in developing a close relationship with them. Think about, you put a rotten apple into a bushel of good apples. What happens? Does the one rotten apple turn good because of all the good apples? No, the rest turn bad. Put a good apple in the bushel basket full of bad apples. Guess what happens? The good apple doesn't turn the rest bad. The bad apple turns the good one to bad. And if God has changed your life, there's no reasons for us to be over here anymore. There's no reason for us to be living over there. So, I mean, who are we going to live for? Who are we going to choose to live for? Second thing I want you to understand, and this is probably one of the bigger things for us tonight as believers and for young people and old, is they're not going to get why we want to live over there. We can try to impress them with it. We can try to talk them into it. But you know what? They need to see the love of Christ. They need to see the Word of God. And they might respect you. But as I told you down there, when I told them I wasn't going to listen to that certain music anymore, and when I wasn't going to watch those certain TV shows, and I wasn't going to be part of those certain hobbies anymore, you know what? It's like, why? You know, what's the big deal? And they make fun, and they pick, and they mock, and they look at you and say, you know, why can't you do that? What's the big deal about that? And I think that's a great opportunity to be able to express to them, if you have a principle to back the Word of God up and say, look, God is my authority. God is what I'm trying to please. God is the one that I'm trying to live for and do the will of God. And because the Bible says, set no wicked thing before thine eye, I can't watch that anymore. And because, you know, and then guess you can show biblical principles over and over why I can't wear that and why I can't go to that place and why I can't be a close friend with somebody who is doing those things. They're not going to understand. And that's what the Bible says, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The idea here is they're going to even mock you. You think about the story we didn't learn about in Sunday mornings. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's first wife. He kept on saying no. He kept on saying no. And I'm sure what was going through Potiphar's wife was, why would this slave boy that is not married, that does not have a woman, why would he not want me? And she just thought it was strange as she kept on throwing herself at him over and over. And what happens? She ends up speaking evil about them. And that's why this world cannot get it. They cannot understand it. They live to suffice themselves, to make themselves happy, to live for themselves. They can't understand a person that would want to live according to something different in their flesh. They're going to think it's strange. They're going to think it's odd. But so often we try to fit in and live like the rest of the world, but that's not what the God says we should do. He says at the end of verse number 2, but to the will of God. Don't be surprised even when your family and your friends and the people you would expect to be the most supportive of you criticize or make fun of you for your Christian stand. And that's why we got to learn to depend on God. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Think about these verses. It says, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." I've overheard people mocking other Christians. I've overheard people make little comments about wanting the way that I want to live for God, and they think it's ridiculous. And the people that I used to run with, he's too holy now. He's old, this, that. You know what? It's not strange. When you choose to live for God, there are going to be people that says, "Oh, I never go to a church like that," or "I would never listen to something like that," and they think it's foolishness. But you know what? The wisdom of God is going to be foolishness to man. Third thing, and this is just a reminder, I think, that Peter writes in here under the inspiration of God, we will all be judged. We will all be judged. You see here, it said, "Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" And I think that word quick, you can use the word living there. It gives the idea that all will be judged, those that are living and those that are dead. They will be judged by the Lord someday. You may say, "Will believers be judged?" They sure will. The Bible says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You know what? We have an opportunity here. One man wrote, "The definition of life is this. Life is an opportunity to meet God." All we're doing here is preparing for the day we meet God, and that is the greatest focus we should have. Daniel Webster said, "What is the greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind?" Daniel Webster said, "The greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind is that one day he will meet God." If you can let that occupy your mind, won't that change the way we live? You know, when I'm looking at what am I going to please myself or am I going to please God, someday I'm going to meet him. So if that's in the forefront of my mind, guess what? That's how I'm going to be living. But, you know, if I'm thinking that I'm going to be happy and suffice with wrought or doing the work of the will of the Gentiles or my own life, it's not going to matter to me that day and that moment that someday I'll meet him. Romans 14, verses 10 through 12 said, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So who are we gonna serve? Who are we going to please? I know what you're thinking, what some of you might be thinking. I want to be liked. I mean, that's true. No one likes to be disliked by everybody. But if it's the idea here, am I trying to please people or am I trying to please God? Now, I remember as a young person, I didn't always fit in. I was a little bit of a, I don't use the word nerd growing up. I don't know what it was that I had a little bit of trouble. When I was, most of you know, when I was in fifth grade, I had a problem with my eye. They put me on a certain medicine and made me get really big. And then the sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade years, I acted out a lot just to try to gain attention because I guess didn't fit in. I used to be athletic. I used to do things. I used to be kind of popular. But boy, I wanted to do so much and I would do stupid things just to try to please people. You know what? Those people never liked me. I really never liked them that much. And you know what? I was so much wanted them to like me that I was willing to change who I was just to make them happy. And I began thinking today when I was trying to study about this, why do we try to please these other people? What have they really done for us in the past? God who created us, God who has given us life, God who has given us salvation, God who we are supposed to live and breathe for and supposed to be passionate about. Why am I so worried about making someone else feel comfortable, making someone else happy. Someday God is going to judge these people, and someone needs to teach him and preach to them the gospel. And that's what it says in verse number 6. It says, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. Now, I think the Bible there is talking about being dead in trespasses and sin and how they are spiritually dead, and the gospel needs to be preached to them. But if we try to act like them, if we try to live like them, if we try to please them, we are never going to be able to preach the gospel to them. They're never going to get the help that they need. And it says here at the end of verse number 6, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to the God and the Spirit. There's two different thoughts here. And the first one is that it's speaking to those that are dead in their spiritual side and dead in their trespasses and sin. Some think that this verse is written to those that are actually dead, about those who preached the gospel, they heard the gospel, and they believed, they were judged in this flesh according to men, but they live according to God in the Spirit. Those that have been martyred, those that had gone off the side. To me, it doesn't really matter which way is right. It all matters that someday we'll stand before God, and someday we'll all give a judgment, give an account to God. So who are we going to try to please? Once again, they're going to call you strange. They're going to think that you're different. They're going to think that you're weird. But over here, you're going to have to stand before him someday and say, well, this is why I did it. How ridiculous will it be when you're standing before the God of the universe who created you, who gave you his word, who gave you his son, who gave you his love, gave you his spirit, gave it access to the throne of grace. And you look up to him and says, well, I just wanted to make Johnny happy. I just cared about what this person thought about. I know they didn't love you. I know they didn't care anything about you. But they used to make fun of me because I carried around my Bible. They used to mock me when I talked about God. When I didn't listen to those things that they listened to, and when I didn't watch the things that they watched, they made fun of me. And that was more important to me then than you are. How silly does that sound? It's silliness. And in our lives, why is it that we care so much about pleasing them that's going to think when we're doing what we're supposed to do, which is most important, and they're going to judge us and they're going to mock us and they're going to think it's rude. There's some people in my life, and I think that I would be more accepted if I smoked, if I drank, if I cursed, because of the fact that that would not make them feel bad, because they live what they consider a better life than I do. But the fact that I want to live a holy life and live according to God's word and God's standards and live a life that is trying to seek to please God with my life, they look down at me and they question me and they mock and they think it's strange. You're going to meet a lot of people that thinks you're strange if you want to live for God. And I'm not telling you that it's your job to try to convince them. What I'm telling you is your job to do the will of God. It's your job to forgive when he tells you to forgive. It's your job to be faithful when he tells you to be faithful. It's your job to read your Bible, memorize your Bible, pray, to give. It's whatever his will is. That's all that God's saying to you. Over here, they're not going to understand. And they're never going to see the reason to change until you stop compromising. Until they see you doing and living something different, that's when they're going to see the need in their life. But when we try to fit in, they're going to say, they're just like me. There's no need for me to change anymore. And because of that, God's Spirit is not going to get the chance to work through your life to reach them. Tonight, who do you want to serve? Who do you want to please? Are we going to wrought the will of the Gentiles? Or are we going to live according to the will of God? There are those who live according to the flesh. Those people are not going to understand those who want to live according to the will of God. And someday we will be judged by God. Let's live according to his will today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.